Welcome to the Numbers People podcast, where each week we're going to be speaking with some highly regarded senior finance professionals and career experts, looking into the ins and outs of what makes finance people and their teams great. The podcast is proudly sponsored by HPR Consulting, a leading executive finance recruitment firm. I'm your host, Richard Holmes. In today's episode, we welcome Fabian Kuhn. Fabian is Group CFO for Oro, Australia's platform-enabled secure network and digital infrastructure provider. Commencing his career as a graduate at Unilever, Fabian has worked in three continents and has a track record across business partnering, performance management, and financial control. He is passionate about driving change and value improvements and has helped grow businesses profitably by driving growth programs, leadership, business collaboration, controllership, and change management. Hi, Fabian. How are you going?
I'm really well. Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. A pleasure. And we've known each other for a number of years now, and I think Fabian's career is excellent, really interesting as well. He's worked in multiple countries, so I think he's got a really good story to tell you guys. Do you want to take it away?
Yeah, thanks. So I started my career out at Unilever, which I joined them on their finance graduate program after university, and it was, you know, for me, it was the best place to really start my career. That was a business that really invested in me as an individual, both through the mentoring, the coaching, the training that I was offered, but also in terms of the breadth of roles that they allowed me to do. So I started out in the UK. They put me through business partnering, performance management, controller jobs. And I did that in the UK for the period of about 7 years. Through that journey, I really found that I really enjoy big transformational roles where you can really look back at the last few years and you can really put your finger to a tangible difference that you've made. And so I asked for more in that vein. One day, Unilever turned around and said, well, look, we've just made the entire finance team in Southern Africa redundant. It was actually a dismissal for fraud. And so I was asked to go out there and rehire a team of 30. And really set up basic processes from a financial control point of view, accounts payable, accounts receivable, month ends from scratch while recruiting a team at the same time. And so I did that for a few years. That got me out to South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Malawi, Mozambique, a little bit in East Africa as well. That was a fantastic couple of years. That was around the time that the Brexit vote was happening, and Unilever wanted me to go back to the UK. But at that point in time, I really didn't fancy it. My wife actually found a job out here in Sydney. And so, look, that felt like the right time for me to leave Unilever. So I packed my bags and arrived in Sydney, having never set foot in Australia without a job, but to some extent without a plan. Kind of fell into a financial controller role for Specialty Fashion Group as a maternity cover, which kind of bought me the time to look around and see what else I wanted to do. And so I spoke to a whole bunch of recruiters at the time and just said, look, find me the most interesting, most exciting, most transformative job that you can find. And the job at Allied Pinnacle came about, which was a PE-backed business, Allied Mills being the flour business and Pinnacle Bakery being the baking business. And that job was really about bringing two finance teams together, merging two ERP systems and figuring out how that business needed to run as one. Through that journey with Allied Pinnacle, we went through a trade sale. So obviously being PE owned, they looked to sell the business. That ended up being to a Japanese multinational. And so after that sale, I decided to take 12 months off. Yeah, after what was 2 years of extremely heavy lifting, I was exhausted and burnt out. And that kind of coincided with the birth of my first son. And so I decided to take 12 months off to allow my wife to go back to work. Look, I spent 12 months as primary carer. And if I'm honest, it was, you know, my son was 3 months old when I started to take care of him by myself. And it was really the first time I'd met him. So busy had been the time at Allied Pinnacle. That 12 months also gave me a chance to think about what I wanted to do next. It really boiled down to me really, really enjoying those PE-backed businesses because of the pace of change and the fact that you can make a really tangible difference within a couple of years. I was absolutely set on my next role being a PE-backed business. And I felt that the time was right, and I backed myself to take my first CFO role. So my focus when I was looking for the next job was all about a PE-backed CFO role. So after a couple of months of looking, I was offered my current job about 18 months ago at Oro. Oro is Australia's platform-enabled secure network and digital infrastructure provider, which effectively means that we provide outsourced cloud network managed services and security products. In the last 18 months, we've tripled the size of the business through a combination of acquisitions and organic growth. We've recently signed Australia Post, Healthscope and Salvation Army, and we're about to announce two huge new customers. So it's definitely been exciting. For the finance team, the focus has really been around investing for growth, integrating the new acquisitions, consolidating ERP systems, and moving towards the creation of one finance team. And given that we're PE owned, we're doing it all at quite some pace. So it has been exciting and will continue to be really exciting.
So obviously a good move for you.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's been the exciting job that I wanted. It's been fast paced. And this job gives me the opportunity to do more than anything else, is build something that will last 20 or 30 years. So I'm really excited about that.
Unilever obviously gave you a great kickstart for your career, and I can imagine you look fondly on that experience. And tell us a bit more about that opportunity in South Africa, how that came about, because I think you touched on it with some fraudulent activity, some people were dismissed. To go in something like that, I can imagine, where do you start? I mean, what a game changer for you.
Hands down, the most challenging job. Layering on the levels of complexity on top of each other, being, you know, I'd never done a financial controller role before. Obviously, cultural challenges. The fact that there was no team that I could just rely on. You know, there are certain fiscal and statutory requirements in some of those African countries that you would have never expected or experienced, you know, coming from a Western European background. It was, yeah, hands down the most challenging job I've ever taken. And look, the only way that I knew to go about that was just to prioritize, solve one thing at a time, fix something, and then move on to the next problem.
Call it character building, don't they?
Absolutely, yes. Resilience building.
So what advice would you give to someone wanting to pursue a career like yours?
It might sound a little bit cliche, but fundamentally there's no blueprint for a successful career. You can't look at my career or anybody else's career for that matter and say, look, I want to do exactly that. I wouldn't be able to have my career if I was starting again now. Thinking about the journey that I've had and looking at the careers of other people I've worked with, I do think there are a few universal truths, a few characteristics, I guess. So particularly in finance, I'd say get a breadth of experience is absolutely essential. You need controllership experience. You need business partnering experience. You need performance management experience. I'm always slightly concerned when I talk to people within finance that say, oh, no, you know, I'm a controller. Or more often than not now, I'm a business partner. That's all that I do. Cuts out so much that you just need to understand, particularly if you want to be senior within finance one day, you have to have that breadth of experience. Secondly, I'd say there's no substitute for hard work. You cannot have a very successful career without putting the effort in. Yeah, I think certainly there's a fallacy around, you know, saying, look, I'm going to just work my 8 to 4. It just doesn't work like that in my experience. And then finally, I'd say actively seek out jobs that scare you, jobs that you actually don't know how to do. That's certainly been true, you know, for me. The fastest I've ever developed is in those jobs where I actually didn't know what I was doing, and you've just got to take a leap of faith.
I love the point about, yeah, having that breadth of experience. Like, I've been speaking to a few people recently and they've all kind of given that advice that don't specialize too early. And it is a bit difficult because I think when you're at the start of your career, it's hard, isn't it? Like, say if you get approached to be in tax and then suddenly you're a tax specialist. I guess it's just having that self-awareness earlier on in your career to try and do a bit more. But what I like about you, Fabian, is that the experience you've had, in credit to Unilever as well, have afforded you those experiences where you've never done it before, just go ahead and make a name for yourself. And look, you've made a success from it. It just shows you, doesn't it? Talking about advice, what's the worst bit of advice?
Ask for a pay rise is the one piece of advice I wish I'd not followed. In my experience, it's completely the wrong question to ask. You can only ever ask your boss or your mentors so much. Asking for pay rises just creates a problem for that person. Whereas if you're asking for the right development opportunity, the right next role to help further your development, if you're asking for the right new projects that, you know, introduce you to the right people and get you to develop skills that you know are a gap on your CV, by following, you know, that line of questioning, the money will follow. You know, you'll get the right experiences and the money will come later.
And it touches on that self-awareness, doesn't it? But you've got to think, well, how can I differentiate myself? How can I get further? With that worst piece of advice, did you go through that yourself where you were obviously a bit younger and you asked your boss, I want a pay rise? Did you actually have that experience?
Yes, I did. And I regretted it. It's the other good piece of advice I've been given is try to solve problems for your boss. You know, if you're asking for a job that you know that's just come available, that you know that they're having problems filling, you know, if that works for you in terms of the career that you want to have, that's solving a problem for your boss, as opposed to, you know, I want an extra 20K, which just gives your boss a headache. Yeah, it's completely the wrong way of looking at it.
It's about positioning yourself in the best way of your manager. Through your career, Fabian, I know you've achieved a lot. What's been your biggest failure? What did you learn from it?
So you asked me before about my time in Africa. I'm going to go back to that. So the job that I took in Africa, I wasn't ready for that job. And it was by far and away the most challenging job I've ever had, because at the time, I had such limited financial control experience. I didn't understand implications of getting a three-way match wrong in accounts payable, or the implications of not reconciling this balance sheet account properly. I went out there, threw myself at it, worked through the night on countless occasions, worked through the weekends for about 6 months. It wasn't enough to bridge that experience gap that I had at that time. And there's nothing that can prepare you for, you know, having been successful through school, successful through university, successful through the first years of your career, to all of a sudden being dragged onto the call with Global Unilever CFO to explain why the factory is shut because it doesn't have raw materials because you couldn't pay suppliers. And you go from feeling fairly, I guess, slightly cocky about your own abilities to feeling about yay big. But, you know, I was very, very fortunate to have at that time a line manager and also his line manager who could see what I was trying to build and could see what I was trying to do and actually said, you know what, Fabian just needs a bit of time and he'll sort it out. So I burned through all of my credit in that time, but very fortunate to have some very understanding and very supportive managers at the time. That 2 years in Africa was probably worth 10 years in a financial controller role in a developed market. I'm very grateful to have had that experience and to know what can go wrong without adequate control.
I can imagine when you reflect, as stressful as it was, it's kind of good that you've been through it in terms of your development and where it's put you. It's like every person should try and do that. You touched on as well when you were talking earlier about just the different regulatory requirements and how it works in Africa that you probably never expected. So you think, I can imagine you were thought you're on top of it and then something else comes up.
And look, and I'll tell you a funny anecdote, right? It's just to give you a sense of the type of problems you encounter. So at the time, Zimbabwe's currency was the US dollar. And so in our bank account, we had $20 million for Unilever Zimbabwe. I couldn't use the money to pay suppliers. A lot of our raw materials were coming from outside Zimbabwe. To make the payment from a Zimbabwean bank account to a supplier, the Reserve Bank needs actual US dollars, which they didn't have. So I had to go to the Zimbabwean Reserve Bank probably about once a month and beg for real US dollars, which they only got when when tobacco exports were happening and they actually got real US dollars to back up the money that we had in our bank account. Try explaining that to global Unilever Treasury. You just can't get it into your head. So yeah, those were the kinds of experiences that we had.
Going to the bank to actually get bags of cash. And knowing you for a while, Fabian, you seem to really enjoy what you do. You're a positive, optimistic guy. What's the favourite thing?
I'd say the varied nature that a finance career can give you. I'm blessed to have had the breadth of career that I've had, you know, across, you know, controlling, performance management, business partnering. You know, my career's taken me across three continents, mainly FMCG, now technology, different ownership models, you know, ASX listed, multinational, PE owned. The one thing I'd say is you can never do it yourself. I'm so grateful to, you know, the line managers and the recruiters that I've met along the way who've, you know, been willing to take a punt on me.
It's a good point as well. I think sometimes we want to do it all ourselves, but just reaching out and getting that support around you certainly makes a difference, doesn't it? You touched on it before, Fabian, like the stress you would have experienced, especially in Africa. I mean, you come across as a pretty chilled out guy. Like when you feel overwhelmed these days, what do you do about it?
When I feel overwhelmed, I guess it's all about prioritizing. You have to make a decision about what you're going to do, but more importantly, about what you're not going to do. Things just have to then stop. And the other thing is, you know, you've just got to work hard. There are times and there are moments that matter where sometimes you just have to work through the night. You have to work through the weekend to make stuff happen. Prioritization and working hard.
The most important things, get it done with. Yeah. Knowing you for a few years and again, your experience over in South Africa, I know we're talking about that a lot, but you've done a lot of recruitment over the years. And this podcast isn't about recruitment, but when you do recruit, what's the most important thing you look out for?
I'd say mindset and aptitude are way more important than experience. There's a few exceptions to that. For example, where where there's a really technical role like tax, for example. Other than that, my experience, and there are some recruiters, not you, I should hastily add, that ask, what kind of experience do you want? What kind of relevant experience? And I actually tend to say, I'm actually not that fussed about the experience. It's about having that desire to want to grow and develop. You know, it's that gleam in your eye, you know, the desire to go above and beyond and make things happen is way more important than the experience. I have in the past hired on the basis of experience, and I've learned that the best you can get doing that is a 3 out of 5. You know, the very, very best people want new experiences and want to grow and develop.
I think recruiting over the years as well, I think those ones who really want it and want to make a name for themselves, they always smash it. They always do well. I find recruitment where it's like 15 ticks in the box, it just very rarely works. Or you get someone who's just doing exactly the same thing as what they were doing and they get bored in a short period of time. And I always question, why do you want something exactly the same as what you had? Kind of thing. But yeah, it's... But everyone's got their own opinion, haven't they? It's you have to value that, and it's I'll sometimes question people, but it's a personal preference, isn't it? But I 100% agree. Having that mindset, aptitude, attitude—it makes such a difference. I keep on recalling that Richard Branson quote, where if you get offered a role, and you're an example of it, just take it and figure out what to do when you get there, kind of thing. And most of the time, people make it work. And tell me something not many people know about you.
Not many people know that I'm a qualified pilot. So whenever possible, I take a plane out and I fly over Sydney. And that's my getaway from reality in the real world.
What do you fly, like Cessnas, things like that?
Yeah, little Cessnas, little single-engine Cessnas, yeah. I learned to fly when I was out in Africa, where it was relatively affordable. The longest trip I've ever done was a week around New South Wales. So that was fantastic.
I remember I placed a candidate years ago now, maybe 15 years ago. And he said, I really appreciate what you've done for me, Rich. I didn't tell you, I've got a pilot's license, I've got a plane. And he took me out in the Cessna. First time you're getting one of those things, geez. I don't know, my car's on it, it's just a little metal door. I was like, my goodness, like it just like clinking shut. And you're just like, wow. But it's fantastic. I think that's the thing. I think a lot of people would love to do it. Just the affordability, especially in this country, it's just a bit too expensive. But that's a great skill to have. And I take it with the pilot's license, that's an international... It's just an international thing. Is it one license for every country?
Your license is relevant to the country that the aeroplane is registered in. So if I'm flying an Australian registered aeroplane, I need an Australian pilot's license. So I had to convert my license when I moved to Australia.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be one kind of standard.
As with all things, it changes just slightly depending on where you fly.
And generally, what makes you happy?
It's going to be a bit of a cliche again, but definitely my family. They're the reason I work as hard as I do. And look, spending time with my 2.5-year-old and my 10-month-old puts in things in perspective. And you know, I pick them up from daycare most days. And, you know, the unconditional smile and run and hug that I get from my eldest every day is what makes it all worth it.
Fabian, if you had one message to tell the world, what would it be?
Be kind, I guess. I think the pandemic has made that more relevant than ever. Look, you never know, particularly in a professional environment. You don't know what the other person is dealing with, either at work or at home. And look, you've got to take what you're doing every day. We're all passionate. We all want to move things forward. But it's important that you're not just professional, but also kind.
It's true, isn't it? You just got to treat everyone with respect. How you want to be treated yourself, and that's great. But hey, Fabian, I think you've been a great guest. A real pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm glad to hear all is going well with Oro. It sounds like a really interesting business. And hey, look, really appreciate your advice and insights, and hopefully it's valuable to the listeners. And we'll have to catch up again soon.